The Kingdom Chronicles is a prophetic adventure into the secrets of the Kingdom of God. The following teaching is by Alan Smith, entitled Lesson 10, True Spiritual Relationships.
Who created the experience of relationship? Who had the first need of a relationship? It was God. Can you imagine that God had a need? Isn't that amazing? God had a need. That need was to be in a true relationship with someone. So God, being the one that was here, he was hanging out by himself and he got bored. How could God be bored with God? There's a truth there. God created relationship. Could it be that we could have more of a relationship and see what this spiritual experience is? Could it even go further than a rabbit with a car? Are our relationships all disastrous? Or are there and is there something behind them? Let's look at this. It says it in Psalms 110 and verse 3. Look at this. Would you read it with me, please? Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. So we see by this verse that God is going to have a day in which he is going to express his power. I was turning through the TV, and I was watching, and I came across this movie of Harry Potter. I know the Christian church has been against Harry Potter, watching it, and I am not pro-Harry Potter. But I was intrigued at how in that series, how that they were seeking after power. The witchcraft was seeking power. Individuals were wanting power. Are we as Christians seeking power? Like the witches are seeking power. Or am I wanting power in my hand that I can control and manipulate your destiny? As Christians, we think it's legal because I can use the power of God to come against your will. Witchcraft. I'm glad I milk cows. Y'all were looking at me kind of funny. I want you to think with me. Are we seeking God? Or are we seeking power? If I am seeking power, it is to fill my pride. Are we seeking power or are we seeking His presence? There's a difference. As Christians, we seek His power. Could it be for our pride that I will be seen as someone? I will be seen as someone important and very spiritual. Did you know that there's not a spiritual bone in your body? The day you got born again, it's because you knew that truth. You knew that Jesus Christ, without Him, you had no hope. Did you know it hasn't changed since that day? You still have no hope. You don't grow more spiritual. Newsflash. He's the one that's spiritual. And because of what He has done, I receive Him into my life. And what He has done has made me justified before the Creator so that I can now be in relationship with Him. God's not looking for me to be more spiritual. He's looking for me to be more honest and truthful about my condition and where I am. Your spirituality has been settled at the cross of Christ. Now all He's asking is truthfulness and honesty. His truthfulness on my condition. His truthfulness on my misery. His truthfulness on my sinfulness. I am as much a sinner today as I was the first day I got saved. How many sins condemn me? 1 or 100? 1. Every day, I need a Savior. I need a Savior more today than I've ever needed a Savior. Because I am more truthful with God and I realize my condition more today than when I first started this journey. So I find myself in more of a need of a Savior. I find myself that I love Him so that He did what He did for me and I contributed nothing. I just received that He did for me. Could we not seek His power? Could we let God have a day of power? And could I be a volunteer in God's day of power? Have you ever longed for a true relationship with God? I didn't say a relationship. Most Christians are afraid they're the rabbit and God's the car. If you don't cross the road just right, God's going to squash you. That's not true spiritual relationship. We were going to get squashed, but Jesus was the rabbit that crossed your road and died your death. Can you hear me? A relationship in which you experience you volunteering to be with Him and Him volunteering to be with you. Can you hear me now? Follow with me on this journey. Can you imagine a relationship with God where God is volunteering to be with you and you in turn are volunteering to be with Him? Is that not cool? You're volunteering. What does that mean? Is this type of relationship possible between God and man? Have you ever wondered why we are drawn with great hope into this uncontrolled and unmanipulated spiritual experience? Now read that last one with me if you would, please. You ready? Let's go. Have you ever wondered why we are drawn with great hope into this uncontrolled and unmanipulated spiritual experience? A true relationship with God is uncontrolled and unmanipulated. I've heard this said before. I'll relate it to you now. If you had a canary in a cage, and you could tell everyone how much that canary loved you, do you know if the canary loves you? If you open the door to the cage, allow the canary to fly away. If that canary returns and rests on your shoulder, that canary loves you. Uncontrolled, unmanipulated. Now, as Christians, we're under this religious idea that God, that we're going to manipulate God with our tithes and offerings. Wonderful place to say glory, hallelujah. You missed it. We think that we're making an investment to God. I'm going to give Him 10%. I bet you I'll get 15 in return. Manipulation. I can speak to you about tithing and giving and I can try to control you with it. Do you ever come under condemnation for not giving? It's control and manipulation. It just is. Things of the Spirit are drawing. I will show you. A spiritual experience, you might ask. There are openings that may be found into the unseen spiritual world, and volunteering yourself in a relationship is one of them. Did you know that? The greatest spiritual experience on the planet was when God created man to have a relationship with Him. So, the dark world is after every relationship that you have with God and with man. Because a relationship is the greatest point of a true spiritual experience. Watch it. A volunteer is someone who has chosen to be in a relationship with another person or persons. You have chosen. Is a slave, what type of relationship does a slave have to his slave owner? Let me tell you this. I want you to repeat it after me after I say it. Ownership does not equal relationship. Argue with me. Ownership does not equal relationship. I know of husbands who think they own their wives. Uh-oh. It's worse in the Christian church than anywhere I've ever been in my life. Husbands think they own their wives because the Bible says so. Sorry. No, it doesn't. Well, I own my wife. Sorry. No, you don't. Your job's to set her free. I own my husband. He doesn't listen to me, so I'll manipulate him. If I own him, I'll have a relationship. Sorry. Witchcraft. Somebody say, that's me, Alan. Well, I didn't get much on that one. Okay. The key word here, the key words, is has chosen. You choose to be in a relationship with someone. Now, remember, say a relationship's a spiritual experience. It was the first spiritual experience on the planet. God started with the biggest experience first. Healing down a totem pole from being in His presence. If you're in His presence, all kinds of things might happen. But it's because you're in His presence. You're in a relationship with God. This is a choice of the heart which produces a feeling of safety and comfort. It's when you choose. You have this choice of being in a relationship. You can feel your soul and your spirit choosing. I had someone invite me out to eat tomorrow night. Would you like to go eat with us? It just felt peaceful in here. You know what I'm saying? I experienced peace and safety. I said, yes, I would love to. I was invited. I had a spiritual experience. I felt peace and safety, and I responded to the invitation. I volunteered myself and said, I would love to. What if the person had come up to see me and said, I'm your spiritual leader, bless God. You're to meet with us tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we're going to feed you. Here's what you're going to have, be there. Would that have been a spiritual experience? Now I'm telling you something about the world and about the ways of the Spirit. The Spirit invites. The world is pushy, controlling, manipulative. As Christians, we'll use the Word of God and say, the Word of God says you are to do this. It's a demandingness. We have no results. When you volunteer yourself into a relationship, you have just entered the realm of what? True freedom. An expression through a non-controlling relationship. These types of relationship experiences are like a cool, fresh of water, drink of water, soothing the soul and bringing peace and happiness to the person. Do you want peace and happiness? It's in relationship. If you're forced at any point, read that with me. If you're forced at any point into a relationship, then it ceases to be a true, pure, spiritual relationship. It can be done. Listen, religion's the worst place for it to happen. There's people blowing themselves up today because of religion. I've heard people say, well, Alan, God's called me to die. Well, you're not reading the same book I'm reading. He's called me to go somewhere and live. And people will see me living in the life that I've got, and it'll draw people. Come to Jesus and be punished. Come to Jesus and suffer. Is there suffering? Yes. Most definitely. I'm not making fun of suffering. I'm just telling you, we have a message of life. And it's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're forced at any point into the relationship and it has been polluted and violated by another's will, projection upon the relationship. Listen. If I am forcing myself upon you, that is what is called will projection. I am projecting my will upon you. We can say, well, God says this, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to tell you this. Did you know that that's will projection? It's projecting your will upon another. An extreme example of this is what? Oh, my goodness. Is rape will projection? Yes. It's one projecting their will upon another. Is murder will projection? Yes. Is stealing will projection? Yes. All of those things, you know, we don't have any problem with us. All of us know that this is wrong and is an example of one projecting his or her will upon another. Now, let's look at this. We have no problem saying that this person should be punished. But what about the times you have projected your own selfish will upon others? Are you with me? Say, Alan, I love you, and I don't wish you would die. Thank you. I'm encouraged. Now, you might even want something good for the other person. Hey, can you see that? You can even want something good. But they need this, Alan. They've got to hear me. This is what they need. I'm going to go to them and pray for them because I know they need this. You might even want something good for the other person, but it is will projection just the same if you have not been invited. Key word there is what? Invited. Think, now remember this. Things of the Spirit are through invitation. Does God invite you to come unto Him? He doesn't take a stick and beat you. If that were true, we would all come in here black and blue. You can say, well, Alan, I am. Yes, and we all know why. Wasn't imposed by God. Are you with me? Now, we can project something good on someone that we think is good. This happens all the time in the prophetic. Well, I know what God said they need to do. This person needs to marry this person. Oh, it was God. They need to get together. You go to the person, you manipulate it, you control it, try to get them to meet. Does it ever work? What have you just done? You have projected your will upon another. If someone invites you in and says, what do you think about this person? Then you might say, I think they're a good person. You might want to meet them. There's a difference. Same event, different response. If will projection takes place, then true spiritual relationships have been what? They've been what? Listen, if God wanted to project His will upon us, we would all got hell. It's His law, it's His way. What did God do? He did not. He projected the will of the demandingness of His holiness upon His own self, that we might have life. Are you with me? If this type of behavior persists, the relationship will ultimately be what? If you're in a relationship, husbands, wives, wives and husbands, friends, leaders of churches, 7-Eleven, Walmart people, anybody, if you are constantly controlling, manipulating, projecting what you think and your will on someone else, those relationships are being damaged, and it doesn't take but one or two or three times. If you have a real good, strong one, one time will do it for life. It's all it takes. I know of people who've been through it 12 times, 20 times, 30 times. That is abuse. To project your will upon another person is abuse, control, manipulation, witchcraft. It will be killed by the suffocation of another's will. If you're projecting, you're trying to control another person or a situation, you don't realize it, but you're killing the relationship. You're killing it. I knew of a little girl who had a little chicken. She held the chicken so tight that it died. What happened to the relationship with the biddy? It was killed. The fear was that we're going to lose the chicken. So more control was placed upon the animal. The more control you place upon another through relationship, the more control, the more you will kill the relationship. Say, oh, what we need is freedom. All we need is freedom. Now, it will be killed by the suffocation of another's will, covering the authentic life of the one that has been projected upon. When the little girl killed the little chicken, she was projecting her. It was through fear. Well, I'm going to lose it. It'll run away. Can you see it? And because it was being held so tight, it choked the very life out of it. Now, this is also an example of a religious. There's one other thing I want to say there. Covering the what? Authentic life. Do you see that? Covering what? The authentic life. Everyone sitting in here has a life that is to be authentic unto whom God has created you to be. I'm to die to my old selfish behavior. And I'm to live unto a new man, unto a new life that's full of peace and love and joy. The Church of Jesus Christ today, we're not experiencing the life and the joy. And it's the peace. We have two types of Christianity. One that is liberal and stands for nothing. And another one that strives to stand for everything and chokes the life that is trying to protect. God doesn't need us to defend Him. God does not need you to defend His Word, His will, nor His way. If you think you can, it is pride in you. Quit trying to protect God and live unto God. Can you hear me? This is also an example of a religious, controlling, and selfish spirit and is used by Christians every day. The scary part is that we even do it in the name of God, not understanding that will projection is a type of witchcraft and is the opposite characteristic of the Holy Spirit's nature of what? Of invitation. Did you know that the worst thing that you can do is pull fruit too green? You see, will projection tries to push something to its full maturity too quick. God knows the seasons. God invites. We want to be like God. This is also called soul power. We might think it is the power of God, when in fact it is the power of the soul. The soul pushes its way forward into someone's life, while the Holy Spirit invites you into someone's life. Soul power is the opposite of what? The power of God. You will know if you are using soul power in your relationships, if you are getting the opposite results from which you have intended to receive. The little girl and the chicken, her goal was not to ever lose the chicken. But in reality, it smothered the authentic life. What was the authentic life of that chicken? Was its destiny to be in the hand of the little girl forever? Or was the little girl to lay the chicken on the ground and let it be a chicken and live life to its fullness? I'm suggesting to you that our control and manipulation is killing the life of others that God has created. And we do it more in the Church of Jesus Christ, where we're supposed to come to and find freedom. The religious spirit has got us by the throat. We wonder why people don't flock to us. It's because they don't want to come here and die. to our religion and our rules and our regulations. People come in here all the time. They see the sign on the road. They're thinking they can find God. Can they? Or do they run into us first? Usually people will reject soul power. If not, they will come under the fear and control of another, thus becoming a slave unto the other person's will and ideas. Now, this is very important. I'm trying to reveal to you some truth. If I hurt your feelings, I really don't apologize. I really don't. If you'll hang with me, this story has a happy ending. Once again, this is the opposite of a kingdom personality and the personality of the Spirit. Now watch this. A controlling personality gives the outward appearance of loving and caring, but it has a hidden agenda of control and manipulation for one's own personal gain. But I'm wanting to do it for God. I'm wanting to manipulate them into worshiping God. I want everybody to stand up and raise their hands and act like you're happy. Will projection. I've done it, and if I just said it to you and you've done it, it's still will projection just the same. Spirit of God, Spirit of truth. If you worship God and sit there in peace and safety, and you enjoy others worshiping and dancing, well, praise be unto God, you need that freedom. I don't need to control you or try to manipulate you to look like something spiritual that I think you should be. Can you hear me? What if this is the last time I'm to speak? Will you hear me? I'm speaking like it would be. Can you tell? The belief of this type of personality is that their happiness and fulfillment is found in another person. We think if we can get everybody jumping just right, raising their hands just right, twirling just right, saying the right lingo, we think that God's going to show. But we're controlling and trying to manipulate a Christian culture on God's creation. And when God's wanting you to be who you are in Christ Jesus, not trying to prove anything to me, you should be able to come in here in peace and safety and worship God. Now, therefore, when we do this, we see that we're trying to mold others into our image. Now, if I'm trying to get you to be as spiritual as I think you should be, this is what you should do. We do this. You know, we think God's King Kong, and we're going to bring Him a beautiful woman. He's going to be happy. We think we're going to be this church that's going to make God happy. Listen, we've already failed. Are we going to be a church without spot and blemish? Yes, we already are because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've already made it. God's already been satisfied. God's already happy. Everybody's worried about God judging America. Listen, if God was going to judge America, He'd already done it. He's poured out His grace and His mercy on us. Can you not feel it? We are not getting what we deserve. Somebody say glory, hallelujah. And you never have because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's quit trying to act like we've earned it. Come on. Look. This reveals that a controlling person really believes that they are close to perfection. In other words, I know what kind of Christian you're supposed to be. So I'm going to manipulate you into being what I think you should be. Now the truth is I'm molding you into my image of what I think you need to be. Do you see it? That means I think I'm in a better place than you are. I think I'm more perfect than you are. That is pride, pride, pride. How do I know that? Because I've done it. I'm guilty. I am so guilty. I'm so glad you don't know how guilty I really am. And I'm not going to tell you. Now, a controlling person is one who is trying to duplicate others into being like themselves or who they think they are. Now listen, this is kind of subtle, but it's true. Are we trying to lead people to Christ or people to be like us? If we lead people to Christ, I don't know what they're going to look like. You are all a unique creation by the Creator. Some's going to jump and dance. Some's going to sit still. Some's going to put on a coat because they're cold. Some's going to have on a t-shirt because they're hot. This Holy Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Truth and of Freedom. Now, Let's look more closely at a kingdom personality. That's enough of that stuff. Aren't you glad I'm done on that one? That was nothing but a confession of my heart. That's all it was. Now, a kingdom personality is one who is helping others learn and become the authentic person whom God has created them to be. Are you ready for that one? If you're wanting to be in a relationship with somebody, when God's in relationship with you, He is not trying to mold you into another Jesus. Now, don't stone me yet. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is our pattern. But you are an authentic creation. We've been given a pattern, a life of Jesus Christ. Jesus died that you might be all authentically you, without selfishness, in peace. This personality will draw others into the kingdom of God, always understanding that the non-controlling love generated by the kingdom of God is the attraction of the invitation of the kingdom. Can you hear me now? It's the non-controlling love, unconditional love, that has a drawing effect of the kingdom of God. Now, another thing that happens, if I'm operating out of a religious spirit, I'm just automatically critical. How do I know this? Because I am one. I know how to be critical. I'm usually pretty good at whatever I do. It's not pride. When I fail real good. Pride. Now, non-controlling love. A religious and controlling person is always pushing their ideas where? Upon others. If you find yourself always debating others, the next time you debate someone, it just rises up in you. Listen, let me back up a little further. How do you know if you are debating someone? It's because you interrupt them all the time. Uh-oh. Am I the only one? I know. There's a check goes off in me. If you're talking to me and I interrupt you, I'm like, uh-oh. Yeah, I've done it again. See, I can't interrupt what you're saying and know what you're saying. What happens is you say something, I don't like it, or I'm going to rebuttal it. You keep talking, and when you take a breath, I interject something. So the truth is I didn't hear the last 15 seconds of what you were saying to me because I was too busy thinking on how I'm going to project my will upon you. How do you know if you have a controlling spirit? It's because you're always interrupting people in conversations. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, you don't look like you love me right now. Remember, Jesus died on the cross that you might love me. Now, can you hear me? I'm just giving a personal confession. When I interrupt people, I know I'm projecting my will. I'm not really hearing them. I've already got my mind made up. So I'm going to enter into a debate with you. If you're debating all the time, that's will projection. Most will projection is done out of the spirit of fear. I'll get into that one perhaps. Now, while a kingdom person lives their life in peace, not having the need to control and duplicate themselves and others, that's a true kingdom person. You don't feel the need to control others or manipulate them. When this lack of controlling others becomes reality, a volunteering atmosphere is created, thus opening the door into the spirit world. Are you with me on this one now? Have I got you? Because I'm going to change gears here now. Have I got you? When this lack of controlling others becomes reality, a volunteering atmosphere is created, thus opening the door into the spiritual world. I talk to you. I'm going to say this. Mark Dula. Absolutely, totally a no-maintenance relationship. See him in 12 months, he'll pick you right up at your last conversation. He is not controlling, manipulating. I don't know if you noticed that. Mark can come in here and read a book. Well, you could have laughed, but you look way too serious. You can come in here, Mark can read. He's not intimidated. He can say, well, I'm into this book, so I'm going to read. But he doesn't project himself. Same way in relationships. Non-controlling, he does not require maintenance on the relationship. We've been friends for I don't know how long. For a long time. Why has our friendship endured? No control, no manipulation.
Love him with all my heart, give him anything I've got. Totally zero maintenance, manipulation. Now, only then can true freedom that the Apostle Paul spoke about be experienced. Let's back up. When this lack of controlling others becomes reality, a voluntary atmosphere is created, thus opening the door to a true spiritual world. Only then can the true freedom that the Apostle Paul spoke about be experienced. What is that? This true freedom will reflect the glory of the Lord and not the glory of man. 2 Corinthians. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's what? There's freedom. Where there's control and manipulation is not freedom. It's the opposite of freedom. So if we want the Holy Spirit of God in our midst, we need to keep as low as possible control and manipulation, and we need to export freedom. Didn't say sin. I said freedom. Freedom just means, listen, freedom is created because I am not projecting my will upon you. That's all it is. We come in here and we cease to project our will on everybody. Well, if I can get old so-and-so there, this Sunday they'll get their heart right in God and everything will be all right. I'll call so-and-so and they won't know I called them, so I'll get them to call them and they'll get them to come. Well, it's all right to do things wrong for God. Now, this non-controlling atmosphere will produce what? Produces freedom of the Spirit of God in which you can see and experience what? His true power. There again, the opposite of this, controlling will create an atmosphere of the spirit of man which is pretending to be a god, and it will produce what? False freedom. Satan is always bringing bondage, and the Spirit of God is always bringing freedom. Read that one with me, please. So don't go to sleep on me. Satan is always bringing bondage, and the Spirit of God is always bringing freedom. Don't forget that. Please don't forget that. Freedom, what a word. Just imagine freedom as a play. If it were, then volunteers would be what? The characters. Where is the Spirit of God, you might ask? Freedom is the place in which the Spirit of the Lord abides. Are you with me? Let's take a closer look at our beginning verse, and again, the Hebrew definition of the word volunteer. Now here it is. Your people shall be what? Volunteers in the day of your... Now that is a huge word. It's huge. It's a huge spiritual word. Volunteer. All of those things properly. Say spontaneity. Do you see that? Do you see that? A volunteer has the opportunity to be spontaneous. That means it's not controlled and manipulated because it ain't been thought of yet. Are you with me? A relationship that is non-controlling and manipulative allows the characters or the people to be spontaneous. Isn't that a classic idea, God? Do you see it? Spontaneity. Spontaneous. A spontaneous or what? Listen, a volunteer in the Hebrew text of Psalms is saying that a volunteer is someone who can operate spontaneously in their gifts. Are you with me? How can I get you? We're all the time wanting people to operate spontaneously in their gifts, and we're controlling them all the way trying to get them to do it. Look at it. Here's what free means. Or volunteer in the KJV. It means to be free, will offering, freely, plentiful, voluntarily, willing, offering. I'll not go into it. I would rather people... Boy, I'm going to lose you here. I would rather people to spontaneously give than to live by 10%. It's my opinion, not the philosophy of this church. My opinion. When you start living in true relationship with God, you will not need a 10% mark. You're in such a relationship with the Creator of the universe that you spontaneously give. Have you ever done that? You know what I'm talking about. I've heard Doug Mayberry say it. He said it the other day. He said, well, Alan, Lord told me to give that person $10. And they, first you start off, this person gets, he's getting on my nerves. And the Lord told me to give him $10. He said, I talked to the Lord 15 minutes and he upped it to 50. He said, I pitched a fit and he went to 100 and said, I hushed and gave him 100. What is that? It's a spontaneous giving out of relationship with God. You can say, well, he should have been more spiritual and give the 10. No, he was real. He argued with God. God won. Isn't that cool? Do you ever argue with God? Come on. I tell God I'm unhappy. I'm not going to tell you much, but I'm going to tell him. He loves it. It's true relationship. Now, this is incredible. A true volunteer in a relationship with God is the person who will see the day of God's power. Now, Doug didn't feel God's power with $100, but the person who got the 100 did. Doug got to see it. The other one got to feel it. And Donna got to watch it. Isn't it amazing how God's work? How God works? Your giving spontaneously is the experience of the recipient. We're trying to force God to move His hand in a situation which He's asking, just trust me. Spontaneously react as we're talking. In the presence of God, we don't know what will happen. This power will produce a person who can be creative because there are no boundaries or limitations to their creativeness. I've talked with people, talked with a pastor last week, said, Alan, I'm going to preach on tithing. I don't know why I'm digging myself a hole here. He said, I'm going to preach on tithing. The church is not giving. I said, well, why don't you go ahead and shut your doors? I said, he told me his message. I said, if you bring that message, you're going to destroy your church. I said, if you can't get people beyond the law of a 10%, you're going to go broke. If your people, listen, I've never seen anyone who is not in a true relationship with God that don't give away over 10%. Listen, I'm not talking about money. You thought I was talking about money, didn't you? Give her time and pray. Give some money if they got it. You notice I said if you got it. If you don't got it, you can't give it. But you can give you time. You can give intercession. God's not looking for your money. He's not broke. He's looking to be in a relationship with you and let Him talk to you. He might say, give somebody 10. You mess around, you'll have to give 100. Now God, listen, I know Doug Mayberry. 5 years ago, it had cost him $500. Now, it cost me $250 that one time. Okay, now, it is true freedom that creates the atmosphere, and it is God's power that produces a creativity. So what we're after is a spirit of freedom. How do we get freedom? I cannot create my own freedom. You create my freedom. I can't create it. My freedom is in your hands. The freedom of the world is in our hands. Will we represent that freedom? The founding fathers, now watch this one. I'm going to change gears. Now please hear me on this. The founding fathers of America understood this biblical truth. Watch it. True freedom was their commissioning from God. Did you know that? Never in the history of the world had a nation been born like the United States of America. Check your world history. There's been never another one born like this one. America's forefathers were just a group of small armies from 13 independent colonies submitting themselves to God and what? They were submitting themselves to two things. To God and His freedom. Now, I want you to start making an association. Every time you see the word God, you're going to see the word freedom. Why? Because true relationship is in the atmosphere of freedom. Not will projection, not control, not manipulation, using the Word of God. Thank you very much. Watch it. Never before had there been a country that sought after God and the freedom of His people. The founding fathers knew the secret. Say the secret. The secret of a relationship with God. Read the minutes of the First Continental Congress. Read what John Adams wrote. Benjamin Franklin. George Washington. Read it. They were fighting to have a country of freedom. Not just freedom, but freedom with a purpose. They were fighting for freedom because they knew freedom was the atmosphere that you could hear from God. You have been set free with a purpose to hear from God. You put people under bondage. The voice of God ceases. A religious spirit takes over. Watch it. The secret was freedom. Freedom feels great. But more than that, it is the atmosphere in which creativity comes forth from God. There has never been a nation that's had such great miracles of revelation than the United States of America. Never has there been a nation. The revelation that we've gotten since 1776 up until now has been incredible. We fed the world up to about 5 years ago out of four or five states in the United States. More corn was grown in five states in the United States than anywhere else in the world because of the revelation that had been given to this country. We have medicine today. I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to the doctors. I want to trust God. Well, you sure, bud, just give up a bunch of revelation from God's all I can tell you. Where do you think the truth came from? It didn't come from a man. It came from God. It came from God. God gives revelation to men. The founding fathers of this country knew the secret was God and freedom. When we're losing our freedoms, hear me, we are losing freedoms very rapidly in the United States. You can say, well, we can tolerate a little of it because we don't want the terrorists to get us. That's not the problem. The more freedom you lose, the harder it is going to be to hear God. Now look at this. This is John Witherspoon. This is a quote. It is in the man of piety and inward principle that we may expect to find the uncorrupt patriot, the useful citizen, and the invincible soldier. God grant that America, true religion, and civil liberty may be what? True what? Religion and liberty are inseparable. I'm telling you, they knew a secret. God had given the founding fathers of this country a revelation. It's the revelation of the Garden of Eden. They talked about it. How they, in the Garden of Eden, everything was done voluntarily. It's the very reason they always wanted a volunteer army. So that God would be with them. Can you hear me? We've lost our American history. America, true religion and civil liberty may be inseparable, and that the unjust attempts to destroy the one may in the issue tend to support and establish of both. They were saying they both had to run together. Do you now understand why freedom is the cry of the world? This internal instinct is put in man by God, for it is the place of true relationship between God and man. Do you see it? A volunteer is someone who is willing to be in a relationship with another. May we allow each person to live in freedom so that the power of God may be what? May be realized. Do you have your sheets with you? It's 20 minutes till 12. Aren't we doing good? Aren't we doing great? You're going to be out of here early.
Better slow down.
No, I want you to be free to go at any time. Now, All right, I have some notes at the back of this. I've given it to you just for you. At the back it says relationship with God and freedom. Do you see that? Now, I'm wanting to suggest to us as Christians, Jesus died to set you free. Free to be who God created you to be in Christ Jesus. That's not a zombie that doesn't think. That's a person who thinks, volunteers himself. Listen, say God is a creative God. God is looking for volunteers for a relationship with you to create today and tomorrow. The founders of our country had been given this revelation of God and freedom. I've heard people from other countries laugh at our freedom. I have heard that. We are made fun of. So over the years, we have slowly and are slowly given away our freedom. One thing the founding fathers said, your freedoms are not to infringe upon the rights of another. What was to happen was your freedoms were to be protected. Why? Not so you could be free necessarily, but it was just a requirement so you could be clear with your conscience and with God. It gave you an atmosphere to say, I want to worship God and hear from God. God honored that. You say, well, Alan, can we make it in freedom? The answer is yes, if we're asking God. Look at this. Look what Alabama said in their preamble. Well, let's now go down to Arizona. I'm going to skip for it. You see Arizona, the third one, 1911? This is their preamble to the state constitution. We the people, the state of, Arizona, excuse me, grateful to God Almighty for our what? All right, do you see it there? You got God and freedom. Do you see it? Look at Arkansas. We the people of the state of Arkansas are grateful to Almighty God for the privilege of choosing. Do you see that? Now listen, church, hear me. We need to recapture that Jesus died to set us free. I'm just suggesting we're into religious spirit more than we might want to admit, of trying to project who we think we need to be upon each other. I create your freedom, you create mine. If I'm putting will projection on you, I'm to create an atmosphere that you can seek God. We want people to come in here and worship God in freedom. Like I said, if you want to dance, dance. If you're a dancer, don't run over somebody that's sitting down. Especially a flagger. Watch the flags. You know, you'll get whiplash. Right? In other words, you don't want your freedom to flag up to interfere with a person who likes to sit and be quiet. I just want you to understand we're after freedom. Look here, California. We the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom. Go down to Delaware. Through divine goodness, all men have, by nature, the rights of worshiping and serving their Creator according to the dictates of their what? Their conscience. Listen, if I persuade you of something, we have gained nothing. But if the Holy Spirit of God invades your conscience, He can speak to you, bring conviction of sin, bring leadership, bring divine relationship. Say it one more time with me. Ownership does not equal relationship. True freedom gives the opportunity of a relationship. Now, you can take these notes with you. All 50 states, in their preamble to their state constitutions, mentions God and freedom. It's because they understood that that was the secret of a relationship with God. Church, you are free today to be in a relationship with God or not. It's your choice. I'm not even going to tell you that God's going to give you a disease or a car wreck so that you'll come back to Him, because I don't believe that. I'm just sorry. Jesus died for you. And in this day and time, this is one farmer boy that's living in the grace of God. It's because of His grace and His mercy. It's because of what He's done. I still think God made a bad trade. But it's all He's done for me that I can stand before you in the power of God. It is His power. Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, dear God, we love You.